You're listening to a podcast from 702.
We look at the major political stories you need to pay attention to. We're joined now by News 24's editor-in-chief Adrian Basson on the line from Cape Town. A very good morning to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Hello, Bongani.
Now, you wrote last week a piece about the three challenges facing the president, and you've got a new piece that's out this morning. And I made the point on this show last week, Adrian, that someone like Ace Magashule isn't a bungling idiot speaking out of turn when he says some of the things he's been saying to contradict the president, but it's well-aimed and it's part of a fight back against President Ramaphosa. Do you agree?
Absolutely, Bongani. I think if we listen to Ace Magashule this weekend in Bloemfontein, it is aggressive. It is very determined to undermine Cyril Ramaphosa. It actually started quicker than I thought it would. I thought, you know, Ramaphosa would be given a bit of a honeymoon after the election by Ace Magashule and the others who oppose him in the ANC. But it is all out mutiny. It is very clear that President Cyril Ramaphosa is now under attack from Magashule and others.
Now, we used to speak about the coalition of the wounded when it came to Jacob Zuma and that campaign. Let's just talk about some of the possibilities, because, of course, there's now growing speculation about who may return to cabinet or not. Certainly the name of Lindiwe Sisulu is one big one, once touted as a possible deputy president. Now speculation is she won't even make it to cabinet, and maybe that's why she's joined the Women's League and aligned herself with that faction. Take us through that.
Yes, I heard a few weeks ago that Lindiwe Sisulu has joined the, let's call it the ANC, the Magashule ANC camp. Now, the history of this, of course, is Lindiwe Sisulu was running for ANC president at Maserik. He lost out and then became the deputy president candidate for Cyril Ramaphosa on his slate at Maserik. And behind the scenes, Ramaphosa's lobbyists were making a deal with Didi Mabuza from Mpumalanga to make sure that they won. That happened, and Mabuza came in as deputy president, and she's very angry about that, apparently, and is very ambitious. She wants to be the first woman president and has now made herself available to the Magashule faction, it seems. If you look at what happened in Bloemfontein on the weekend, the Walter Sisulu Memorial Lecture, she was there on stage, she got a hero's welcome, and she was then introduced as a member of the ANC Women's League for the first time by Batabile Dlamini, no one other than Batabile Dlamini. The stage was packed with Zuma supporters, and she got a hero's welcome. So it does seem that she has shifted, and that indeed what my sources speculated was true.
I mean, let's just talk about it. It's not the first time we've seen ambitions from Lindiwe Sisulu. She was part, of course, of the coalition that fought for Jacob Zuma way back in the beginning as he was trying to fight for his political life in 2005 from thereabouts. She certainly didn't do much when her brother was basically, you know, dumped by the ANC as the Speaker of Parliament. Is this yet more of that same, ambition playing itself out?
Well, the term that's used when I speak to my sources is blind ambition. And you know, of course, everyone's entitled to have ambition. But I was quite surprised at the flip-flop that's happening now before our eyes. She's got a very senior cabinet position in international relations and is touted as a possible deputy president if Didi Mabuza doesn't come back. But looking at the past few weeks, it seems like she may be going into a different direction. Bongani, if you listen to Ace Magashule speaking on the weekend, terms like white monopoly capital, radical economic transformation, that's totally back on the agenda. People were attacking speaker after speaker, was attacking the Zondo Commission and what's happening to curb corruption. And there was the Lindiwe Sisulu sitting on stage, not distancing herself. So Let's see how it plays out, but I won't be surprised if she doesn't make it back.
So let's just talk through that then. I mean, certainly we heard, as you say, speaker after speaker also attacking the president's agenda. I mean, one went so far as to say, you know, what nuance when it comes to land expropriation? Don't come and talk to us about, you know, protecting food security, for example, saying to hell with investors, that kind of language. But practically, people who are dismissive of the suggestion that President Cyril Ramaphosa could be recalled will say, look, look at the ANC processes. Both Thabo Mbeki and Jacob Zuma were no longer ANC presidents when they were recalled. How on earth would this happen with a Cyril Ramaphosa, even if there was a credible fight back from the other side, if you will?
Yes, I agree with you. I think in terms of process, it's very difficult to recall Cyril Ramaphosa. I don't think that's going to happen. But what they can at least try to do is to make life extremely uncomfortable for him, to try and win back the majority of the NEC, to make life hell for Cyril Ramaphosa inside the ANC, to oppose his policy, to oppose his plans of rebuilding the economy and fighting corruption, and to come back with this massive Zuma agenda of victimhood, of something called white monopoly capital, to, in my view, detract and take away from their own sins. Ait Magashule is in big trouble. He's got a number of allegations against him of state capture and corruption during his term as Premier of the Free State. You're seeing the NPA being bolstered by Cyril Ramaphosa. Last week we saw another fantastic appointment of Advocate Hermione Cronje to head up the Investigative Directorate into state capture. So these things must be scaring the living daylight out of people like Ait Magashule, and they need to stop this. They need to prevent a full NPA prosecutions from starting. So I think that's what's happening here. You know, also looking at Jacob Zuma's tweet last night where he defended Sandile Gumede and said that, you know, he hopes she's not also a political victim. This is again back to the old Jacob Zuma playbook of 2005-06 where if you're accused of wrongdoing, don't address the merits, don't speak about the facts, just claim victimhood and speak conspiracy. Talk about the people who want to politically eliminate you. And I'm afraid this is what's part of Ramaphosa's immediate future.
Is there a chance, though, that it could swing the other way, that if anything, actually all of this resistance might embolden President Ramaphosa, A, in terms of his cabinet appointments, as he will announce them very soon, but also in terms of structures even within the ANC, as far as, say, the Integrity Commission, for example, and what it might now say about the likes of Zandile Gumede?
A very interesting question, Bongani. I think you may be right. I think if the tide turns enough, and I think if he makes strategic appointments to cabinet, you could see people like Magashule being flushed out. At the moment, however, it looks like the Thuli House may be slipping away from Ramaphosa. You know, as Magashule is the CEO of the Thuli House, he's got senior people supporting his cause. We saw Paul Imabe, Dakota Lekwete on stage with Ace on the weekend when people spoke about crushing the enemy, etc. So Ramaphosa is going to make sure that he doesn't only fix cabinet, but also the Thuli House, that he keeps control of the ANC, that we don't have a situation like we saw with former President Thabo Mbeki, where you lose control of the Thuli House, which then starts a process to ultimately unseat you as president of the country. So I think a few masterful chess moves lies ahead for Cyril Ramaphosa, and let's see what he does.
Let's see what he does indeed. It's all to play for. News 24 Editor-in-Chief Adrian Basson there on the line from Cape Town. One wonders, of course, if the speculation that Didi Mabuza might be going to Luthuli House has anything to do with those spectacular chess moves that might be coming our way.